Welcome to the Words of Life program. Today, we start at the very beginning in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Brother David Johnson has the sermon topic today of In the Beginning. This is sure to be interesting. Words of Life is sponsored by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who want you to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Our programs are recorded in a studio in the facilities of the Hamburg Church of Christ located in Sellersburg, Indiana. We now begin with praise for our Lord. Lord, it's our great joy to be able to talk to you in the holy name of Jesus. Thank you for this privilege. As we talk to you, Father, it is our blessing to be able to share our concerns and thanksgivings. We ask that you will bless each of our listeners with health, peace, and bless their spiritual needs. We thank you for each one of them and their interest in your word. We pray that your word will be welcomed and that Satan will not provide resistance. And Lord, help us to be ready when Jesus returns to call us home. In the name of Jesus, amen. Brother David Johnson will now present In the Beginning.
It's wonderful to be together again as we look in to the Word of God. The title for the lesson is In the Beginning. And our primary text is taken from Genesis, the first book of the Bible, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Please listen to the Word of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. This is the word of God. May he add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Modern science today affirms that the universe had a beginning, not that the universe always existed in some way, in some form. The ancient scriptures' first words in English are, in fact, in the beginning. And especially the first three chapters of the book of Genesis, we have revealed the foundation of every major doctrine essential to the faith, the Christian faith, the faith given to us through the living Word, the Word of God. What Scripture uncovers and teaches about sin and redemption assumes the literal interpretation of Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3. The theory of vertical evolution, that is, molecules to mankind, has, beginning in the 19th century, established naturalism as the dominant belief system in the Western world. Naturalism is the viewpoint that every law and force operating in the universe is natural, rather than moral, spiritual, or supernatural. Naturalism is inherently anti-God. Naturalism, in its ultimate sense, is basically neutral regarding morality, landing wherever and whatever society accepts or rejects. Why is this subject important to understand? Just this. Even the church at large, in many cases, has lost its will to defend what the scriptures teach about origins and ever-changing morality. Many today seem driven to attempt to reconcile scripture with the latest theories of naturalism. Many are reinterpreting the Genesis account to accommodate evolutionary theory and its presuppositions. Naturalism's basic presupposition is a rejection of everything supernatural regarding certainly a supreme being as creator, and the supernaturally inspired scriptures as the word and will of God, which includes his standards of morality. Even many religious leaders claim that the first three chapters of the book of Genesis are just a series of literary devices. A poetic saga, giving the spiritual meaning of what actually occurred through billions of years of evolution. Yet there is nothing in the beginning of the Genesis text itself that suggests that the biblical creation account is merely poetic, symbolic, or allegorical. We should ask ourselves, as Christians, are modern scientific theories and opinions the legitimate basis for the interpretation of Scripture? Whenever Scripture intersects science, it still speaks with the same inspired authority as it does on all subjects. Science has proven nothing that negates the Genesis account. Evolutionists' real goal is to further the teaching that man created God. The ultimate goal is to eliminate faith in the God of the Bible and His Word, and thereby erase all moral accountability to God. Society, especially in the Western world, has enthusiastically embraced naturalism because it imagines it eliminates God as judge, freeing people to do whatever the majority of society deems right without guilt or negative consequences. A prime example paraded openly and aggressively is rejecting the very sanctity of human life, which includes the conceived but unborn as merely disposable tissue. Consider Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12 that states, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death." Physical death, of course, but also spiritual death. To many, this teaching would be considered as hate speech rather than preaching the will from the Word of God. With all the ungodly moral changes in society, believers can still take solace in the truth which is described in the Epistle of James, chapter 1 and verse 17. "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." Jesus Christ, our redeeming Savior, is the epitome of God the Father's good and perfect gift from above. Father of the heavenly lights is an ancient Jewish expression for God as Creator, with lights referring to His creation of the sun and moon, which of course is reflected light. Our God does not change His perfect moral character. He is unchangeable in His virtues, in His attributes. From humankind's perspective, the celestial bodies have different phases, changes of movement and rotation from day to night, and change in intensity and shadow. However, God does not follow that pattern. He is changeless. God is always trustworthy and righteous. God and His Word are light, never darkness. Our Creator's straightforward, concise wisdom in His original creation revelation is a masterpiece in an economy of words. Let's look at our text. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." There was a beginning for the universe in time, space, and substance. "In the beginning" basically amounts to nothing precedes God, and everything begins with God. Therefore, God is before and outside of time and the space universe as we know it. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. "Now the earth was formless and empty." darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Formless and empty indicates not finished in its shape, and as of yet uninhabited. The deep refers to the earth's water-covered surface before dry ground emerged. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Therefore, God effortlessly, out of nothing, sovereignly and simply spoke light into existence. This light dispelled the darkness that is referred to in verse 2. The greater and lesser lights, the sun and reflected light of the moon, were created later on the fourth day, according to Genesis chapter 1 and verses 14 through 19. Therefore, in verse 3, God is the creator of primordial, original light. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 4. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. That is, the light was good for the purposes to which God intended. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 5. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. After God's initial creation, he continued to complete and enhance and fill his creation. Once God separated particulars, he as creator named them. Separating and naming were God's acts of dominion, and later served as a pattern for mankind. First day here indicates that God created the established pattern of creation in 6 days and rested or ceased from his work on the seventh day, which constitutes a complete week. We should understand that the word day can refer to first, the light portion of a 24-hour period, as in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 5. Secondly, it can refer to an extended period of time, as used in the New American Standard Bible, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 4. And thirdly, day can refer to a 24-hour period, which basically refers to a full rotation of the earth on its axis, called evening and morning. This cannot mean an age of time, but only a day, as reckoned by Jews as from sunset to sunset. Furthermore, the word day with numerical adjectives in the original Hebrew language always refers to a 24-hour period. Such a cycle of light and darkness means that the earth was rotating on its axis, so that there was a source of light on one side of the earth supernaturally, even though the sun was not yet created, as revealed in verse 16. We must understand that this was a supernatural, miraculous creation by an all-powerful, omnipotent God, in which all the natural laws were not yet established. One of the great names of science, of mathematics and philosophy is Sir Isaac Newton, who lived from 1642 to 1727. Newton had someone make him a miniature model of the Earth's solar system. A large golden ball representing the sun was at its center, and around it revolved smaller spheres representing the planets. They were each kept in an orbit relatively the same as in the real solar system. By means of rods, cogwheels, and belts, they all moved around the center gold ball in much precision. A friend called on Newton while he was studying his model. This friend was not a believer in the biblical doctrine of creation. Their conversation reportedly went something like this. Friend, quote, "My, Newton, what an exquisite thing. Who made this for you?" End quote. Newton, "Nobody." Friend, "Nobody?" Newton, "That's right. I said nobody. All of these balls, cogwheels, belts, and gears just happened to come together. And wonder of wonders, by chance, they began revolving in their set orbits with perfect timing." Now that takes more faith. Nobody besides God was there. Than the biblical account of creation by an omnipotent, omniscient God who in the beginning created it all out of nothing. In the beginning. Even renowned theoretical physicist Albert Einstein once stated, quote, "What's inconceivable about the universe is that it should be at all conceivable," end quote. Our God has graced us with His written word as to what is reasonably conceivable of His creation. Therefore, believers should not feel embarrassed nor intimidated by naturalist evolutionists who may try to make us feel ignorant for worshiping an unseen God and believing that He created everything visible and invisible originally as simply, quote, "and God said," end quote. Everything is possible with God that does not deny Himself and according to His will and purposes. And how? How could this be? Simply, in the beginning, God. God can do it because He is God.
As you can easily understand from our program today, God is the creator of everything. Our God wants you to know His Son, Jesus, as Savior and Lord. We pray that you have already made a decision for Christ. If we can help you by addressing your questions and comments, please write. We will give you a free CD of this and next week's program. Simply ask for number 2323. That's 2323. Thank you for listening. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life. Sing now.